It seems like everything comes in threes in the National Football League. It seems to be waves. The season now seems like it's cut into thirds. There's 3 days of the NFL draft, and in free agency, there's also waves. Well, we've had the first wave, but now it's the second wave. And also, we have seen Chiefs go to Hollywood, but now Hollywood comes to the Chiefs. This edition of Defending the Kingdom, of course, brought to you by Ticketmaster, and we're calling it the second wave.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! Mecole Hardman! Mecole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. And here we are in the second wave, and also we're going to talk some Hollywood here. But before we do so, what do we have around the world?
I've got 10 today. A lot of 10. Around the world today. We got 10. So
for Isaiah
people
Pacheco.
From all over. There we go. Yes, for Isaiah.
For Pop.
So Jody is listening from Joplin, but they pointed out that Plattsburgh is home, even though they're in Joplin.
Okay.
Will checked in from Butte, Montana. You ever been to Butte, Montana?
I'm not, but I want to.
It's unbelievable. Just a gorgeous place. When I worked for the Salem-Keizer volcanoes way back in the day, we drove up to Sioux Falls, then crossed all of South Dakota, crossed all of Montana to end up in Oregon. And crossing Montana, like if people haven't done that before, it's incredible. Just driving across the state, and Butte, Montana is along the route. So,
now what's the college in Butte? I know the universities like Bozeman and Missoula, but there's a school in Butte.
Yeah, there is. I don't know what it is, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go to like one of those smaller Division II/NIA football games in Montana sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like go to a Montana State game.
Yeah.
I would love
to.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah. Jan Stenery.
Dominic is listening from St. Louis. Hello, Dominic. Tommy checked in from Fargo, North Dakota. Susie is listening from Wichita. Zach is from Sussex County, Delaware. Pretty cool. Michael is holding down the fort in Deltona, Florida. Mm-hmm. Joel is in Anchorage, Alaska. As I've been mentioning several times, I'll be in Alaska here pretty shortly. Can't wait. Shout out to Ben in Columbia, Missouri. Now, Ben is 11 years old and a big Chiefs fan. He also wanted to shout out his uncle who lives in Joplin. A lot of Joplin representation here today.
Joplin, of course, is a hotbed.
Yep, it sure is.
Yep, they think about the kingdom every day in Joplin.
Competing with Springfield to be the Mecca.
They are right there, yep. Battling down in southwest Missouri.
And my last one, I heard from Craig, who proudly represents the kingdom where he works in Moline, Illinois, and at home in Bettendorf, Iowa. And
the
Craig,
Quad Cities.
Yep, and Craig had a trivia question for you.
Okay, John Deere, by the way, in Moline, Illinois.
He works for them. He works at their world headquarters, actually.
I think everybody that lives in Moline, Illinois works for John Deere in one way or another.
Here's this trivia question for you. So what was the first high school football game played at Arrowhead? Yeah.
Wow.
This would be a good one for you to file away.
But it has to do with the Quad Cities or no? Not related.
I think he just happens to know it and was curious if you could guess it.
Cool. I would have to guess. But it has to be something like a Kansas versus Missouri game. It's got to be Rockhurst on the Missouri side against, I don't know, Miege on the Kansas side.
Well, it says that he, according to Craig, it was the Missouri semifinals in 1972.
Ooh.
I think these are both Missouri schools. You want to guess?
No, I got no clue.
Southwest defeated Oak Park.
Wow.
Oak Park's on the Missouri side, right?
Yeah. North, the Northmen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there
the
we
Northmen
go.
Northmen or the Northwomen. Yeah, the Oak Park Northmen. And it was against Center or Central? Central.
Southwest. Southwest defeated Oak Park.
Okay.
Yeah,
that would have been
go.
The first year of Arrowhead, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's 1972. So.
Yeah, some trivia. So the more you know. Thanks, Craig.
Well, thanks to the Quad Cities and John Deere for high school GEHA field at Arrowhead trivia.
Yep.
That's awesome. Something happened. I was in Topeka yesterday on some other business matters, and I passed a 18-wheeler, and it was the most awesome cab I've ever seen. It had the logos of all the Super Bowls. This was from Warsaw, Missouri. It's like this. It was I think he's an independent trucker, like Hardwick or somebody can. They'll follow up on this. But I almost like just stared at it, going at 75 miles an hour down the freeway, of looking at it like it was the coolest painted Chiefs Kingdom truck.
Interesting.
We've got to get a photo of this. We got to put it on our social because it's so cool. And I'll get some more information on it. But I just sat there and was like, well, wow, this is awesome. Now, he does not have the Super Bowl 58 logo up yet.
Okay.
But he's got 4 and 54 and 57. It's real cool in the Lombardies, and it's like something like rolling through the kingdom. It's this cool paint job. of this independent truck hauler. So it's, I know we're going to find more about this cat, but it was awesome.
You know what that reminds me of is a few episodes ago, we had like the three Super Bowl championship hats out, and we talk about those three most recent ones because they happened so recently. But I need some Super Bowl IV gear, like a Super Bowl IV champion hat. Did they make hats back then when you won the Super Bowl?
If they did, were the old mesh kind, right? Yeah. They had the cloth in front and then the mesh background. That would be, yeah. You'll see him. Now, Hank didn't wear them as much. He did at camp. You'll see these pictures of Hank with the mesh three-quarter back, right?
Yeah.
And they made a comeback not that long ago. But that'd be the hat you'd have to get with kind of the football, and there's some logos with some throwback shirts, but yeah, definitely we got to get some shirts and hats from Super Bowl IV and put them on display.
Well, speaking of that, did you see the new trophy case in the lobby this
morning? Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
So
for those that don't know, there's a trophy case in the lobby here at the facility, and it had been outgrown because of all the success lately, because I think it only had maybe two Lombardis in it and then maybe one AFC championship trophy. Now it has all four Lamar Hunt trophies and all four Lombardis in there. It looks pretty great. Need to add some more space, though.
But if you're listening or watching, don't just kind of waltz in here and say, "Hey, where is it?" That's not going to work.
Don't do
right?
that.
Yeah,
no.
We'll
describe it for you.
Yeah, we'll be posting bond, or someone will for you. But you know what? It's interesting. Full disclosure here: when we had the celebration at Union Station on the stage. And you remember when Brett Veach had the open spot on the end?
Yeah, I sure did.
I slid the Lombardis over. He goes, it was like the night before. This is typical Brett Veach, like late at night, right? Ding. What's he want? Hey, I'm going to move all the Lombardis over and leave space.
I love it.
Because that was his thesis,
yeah.
Remember? Like, hey, this looks good for the next one.
Uh-huh.
Get the fifth one. But that was so BV, and it was awesome. But, yeah, there you go. You mentioned Super Bowl IV. Now, we, of course, lost Super Bowl I, and then we lost Super Bowl 55. But Super Bowl I comes into play here as we kind of start this episode because, we're talking about the second wave, but we also got a lot of Hollywood talking here.
Yep.
Now, the Chiefs – okay, let's start – Coach Reed actually has ties to Hollywood. His father worked in Hollywood, right? He was an artist. He made sets. And even though Coach went to John Marshall High School, which is not in Hollywood – I think they played Hollywood in sports, but his dad worked in Hollywood. So this is a little bit if Coach Reed came to us from Hollywood. But the Chiefs have also gone to Hollywood. There was a guy, you ever heard of Fred Williamson? Fred the Hammer Williamson?
It sounds kind of familiar, but I couldn't tell you much about him.
This needs to be one of your, like, go down the rabbit holes. Fred the Hammer Williamson was a cornerback for the Chiefs and played in Super Bowl I.
Okay.
And he was way ahead of his time because he could really talk smack. And he was talking about knocking out all the Packer receivers. And he had this forearm, which is illegal now.
Like Max McGee looking at him like,
oh, yeah,
man.
He was going to like, Boyd Dowler and Max McGee are going to be gone. And so Fred was somewhat of a sanguine character and really good athlete. And ironically, he got knocked out of Super Bowl I. But, and the Packers, you can see it on NFL films, were going after Fred. But Fred, after his career ended with the Kansas City Chiefs, became an actor. And I bet I was counting like his filmography. I think he was in like either – he was in close to 125 films.
Wow.
Yeah, he's all over the place. If you research Fred Williamson, Fred the Hammer Williamson. Now, my favorite role of Fred the Hammer Williamson was the police captain in Starsky and Hutch. You remember the parody of Starsky and Hutch?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy and so
he had like big roles. Like, he wasn't just like an extra. Like,
No. This guy's got big roles. Go back and check this guy out.
Okay.
No, Fred Williamson was a deal. And he's awesome at Starsky and Hutch, right? So he's going to watch it. It's not the TV Starsky and Hutch. It's the Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson remake, which is hilarious. It's one of my favorite movies. There's so many awesome lines in it. But Fred the Hammer Williamson has a prominent role in that. He was in Super Bowl I with the Chiefs. And then John Amos was a famous actor, and he got cut by the Chiefs, actually. I think he lasted a couple days. And Stram goes, "You want to play football, but you're not a football player," or something. But anyway, John Amos became very well known in both film and television. And He wanted to be a Chief, but didn't last very long. Yeah. So there was some moves of the Chiefs going to Hollywood. For sure, Fred the Hammer Williamson would be the valedictorian of that discussion. But now Hollywood comes to the Chiefs. And here we go. Prior to Gus Johnson giving him the Hollywood name, he was Marquise Brown. But he is Hollywood Brown. He wants to be known as Hollywood Brown. Number one draft pick of the Ravens in 2019. He requested a trade. He went to the Arizona Cardinals, but now he's a Kansas City Chief. Hollywood, Florida is his hometown, hence the nickname. It was a big play against K-State when Gus Johnson didn't know how to pronounce. Is this Marquise or Marcus?
Uh-huh.
So he just calls him Hollywood, and it stuck. But what do you think? Hollywood Brown is now in the Chiefs' kingdom.
Well, first of all, I think we deserve some credit for this happening because our last episode was recorded on Thursday morning. And we mentioned that we're only going to talk about what has happened already. I'm sure something new will happen as soon as we record this. And what do you know? Thursday night, there are reports out there that we had signed Hollywood Brown. And Mitch and I are, like, ecstatic about it, super excited. But it's also, like, of course, this happens hours after we record our episode. And we live in a weird world where we can't comment on things until they're official. So we couldn't even talk about it until, Monday? But, yeah, our episode goes out on Friday. Don't even mention Hollywood Brown. So if we had not recorded
But we were
episode,
texting Thursday night. At least we gave the disclaimer.
Exactly.
Out.
But if we had not talked about, if we had not done our show on Thursday, who knows if we would have signed anybody. We helped create that energy in the universe. But, yeah, I love it. I mean, Hollywood Brown, let's talk about him. 5'9", 180 pounds with great speed. Look at his pro day back in 2018. Mm-hmm. Ran a 4.27. So great speed. But you look at his size and kind of his makeup as a player. If you've never watched him before, you might think, okay, that's a guy that plays just the slot. But not the case. It's actually kind of interesting. Hollywood Brown, in his career, has primarily been an outside wide receiver. So it says a lot about his talent, his skill level, and what he can do, that he has the body type of a guy you might think might just be a slot receiver, but he's actually not that. He's a complete receiver. He has 2,884 career snaps split out wide against oftentimes a team's top corner, the 939 snaps out of the slot in his career. He can stretch the field vertically. We all know that, that deep threat with that speed and what he can do in terms of getting down the field quickly. But he also is really effective making plays on those short underneath routes. And look back at his best season in 2021, his 1,000-yard campaign with the Ravens. He had 91 catches that year. Well, 69 of them occurred either behind the line of scrimmage or within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. And he had more than 300 yards after the catch on those plays. So this is a guy that, sure, is a deep threat. That's important. Can take the top off the defense. Back in 2021, he had 4 touchdown grabs of more than 20 yards. But he can also make plays in space and make guys miss underneath, which is very exciting. I think he's really, in a lot of ways, the prototypical, perfect kind of wide receiver for what Coach Reed wants to do.
A couple things caught my eye, we played against him. He had a buck, over a buck receiving in the 21 game in Baltimore where we had the late fumble. We're on the way to win the game. We lose 36-35. But a couple things when you do the deep dive into Hollywood Brown that gets you excited. One in that 21-year, and the 21-year is the one that pops off the surface, right? He had a four-digit year receiving yards, and he had a full year with Lamar Jackson. But he had 23 targets on 3rd and 8+ that year. He had 14 catches of those 23 for first downs. There are only two players better in the NFL than Hollywood Brown in that category. And those weren't all just go routes, okay? So that tells you a reliable third down receiver, 3rd and 8+, which has been a little bit of a void the last 2 years. That's one that catches your eye. Most recent history, and of course Arizona went through a lot of quarterback injuries and Kyler Murray's missed so much time. But last year, 3 goal-to-go targets for Hollywood Brown with the Arizona Cardinals and 3 touchdowns. Now to compare that, think of Rashee Rice. He had 4 goal-to-go targets. He had 4 touchdowns. Think of the game in Germany, right? But Hollywood had 3 goal-to-go targets and 3 touchdowns. So this is complementing your point, meaning, and this is what Hollywood will have to do in this offense. Anybody that has a WR by your name in this Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offense must be able to, at some point, and as soon as you can get there, the better, to be able to be a slot receiver, inside receiver on trips, X receiver, Z receiver. a slot motion receiver, jets, fake jets. That's how we won Super Bowl 58. I mean, so it looks like the fact that Hollywood Brown can play all of those roles, and statistically there have been times he has done exactly that, should be the one thing that should get the Chiefs Kingdom most excited.
And this is a player who I don't think has been fully unlocked yet, to your point. He even mentioned as such in his press conference where he thinks he's shown a lot of things in the NFL, but he has a chance to really put it all together here because of the circumstances and the environment. And think about his time in Baltimore. So, really good player in Baltimore, had that great 2021 season notably, but that was a Ravens offense that was built around running the football. They ranked 30th in the NFL in net passing yards per game during his 3 years there, and even in 2021, they were 13th in the NFL in net passing yards per game, easily the highest ranking they had during that three-year stretch. The Ravens didn't throw the football a whole lot. They were built around running the football, and he still put up good numbers there. And then, like you said, in Arizona, I mean, the idea there was to pair him back with Kyler Murray, who he played with in college, but Kyler was hurt for a good part of both of those seasons. So kind of a weird situation quarterback-wise in Arizona, and he still put his best foot forward. I think during his 2 years there, he led the Cardinals in catches, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns when you combine his two seasons. So a really productive player despite some tough circumstances in both places, and this is the perfect circumstance for him. Come to Kansas City, play for Coach Reed, and play with the best quarterback in the NFL in a pass-centric offense.
And he's the first player in NFL history to have two 40-plus yard touchdowns in his very first game, going back to that 2019 season when he was the number first-round draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens.
But first receiver taken, too, I believe.
In the 25th pick, I think, yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Was.
And that was the McCole Hardman draft, and what happened? It was weird. That was a weird night in the Chiefs Kingdom from a standpoint of what happened before the draft, but that's another matter. Okay, so Hollywood Brown is now a Chief. Tommy Townsend's now a Texan. Makes it easy. He wants number five. Give him number five. We're ready to roll and let him rip. But here's the word we'd give to Hollywood is, okay, your life will start with Pat's OTAs, a.k.a. the POTA, I call him, Pat's OTAs on his own. That leads you into the Chiefs' OTAs, which I would guess would be about as hard as you worked at camp with the Arizona Cardinals. And then when you hit St. Joseph, be ready to rock, because when coach, we've seen this. We saw this with Rice last year. We've seen it with Juju. We've seen it with others who joined the group, and, hey, you're going to get Calc 1, 2, and 3 in the first semester. So just get ready, because if you buy in, just like Rashid did last year, you'll realize, wait a minute, I can do things in a quick fashion that I wasn't even sure I could do. So to get full bloom, as you've alluded to with Hollywood Brown, it's up now to Hollywood to just lock in, know every position, do it as fast as you can, and get on the fast track and be ready to work, because the Chiefs are winning because they work.
Well, and did you see that on Patrick's Instagram that they're already together? I mean, that's how you fire up Chiefs Kingdom, right? Is he's been a Chief for like 24 hours, and he's already working out with Patrick. And Hollywood works out in Texas. That's what he said during his press conference. So it's going to work out perfectly. Hopefully,
he can right there.
Get some early work done with the offense with Patrick Mahomes. And then when OTAs begin here in Kansas City at some point in May, has a bit of a head start and can start immersing himself in this offense. But that's why OTAs, that's why this time of year is so important. Mm-hmm. It's tough for the Chiefs. It's a good problem to have, but it's tough because their offseason is like a month and a half shorter than everyone else's. But when you're a team like Kansas City, you have a chance to make some history this upcoming year, go for that three-peat. Guys want to be a part of that. Guys are eager to get back to work. And as we saw with that IG post, those guys are already working.
Yeah, that vibe's already here. It was even there at the end of the Super Bowl celebration, basically, and it's been carried on ever since then. But it's an example of the second wave of free agency. The first wave is the we in the last episode, you know, the legal tampering period and the New York Stock Exchange, where everything just goes crazy and people are yelling at each other and signing guys and going nuts. But the second wave is when things calm down. And the Chiefs have done a really good job in the second wave. When you look at last year, I mean, Drew Tranquil signed about this time of the year. Mike Edwards was very close in that time. When you look at, and the other thing that we always try to kind of emphasize, you and I, is what's new? What's the new shiny thing? Well, you also like to keep the guys that you want. And the Chiefs did that, of course, with Chris Jones in doing that contract. We discussed that. They did it with Drew Tranquil. But they also did it in the second wave, because there's three guys that come to mind here. Turk Wharton has re-signed in this so-called second wave. Derek Nnadi is signed. Mike Pinnell was a few days earlier than those guys. But the point is with Chris Johns, and you're going to draft some of your guys or put some free agents in there, your inside tech guys are ready to go.
A lot of continuity along the interior of the Chiefs defensive line from last year and really from previous years. Think about Derek Nnadi. I think one of the more underappreciated players on this team. He's played in 98 games over the last six seasons and started 86 of them. And he plays a role on the defense that's very difficult to quantify. Like, he's never going to have a ton of really big stats, like sacks and pressures and all that, but he's occupying space, he's defending the run, and he's one of the players inside that helps make the entire operation go. And as we've mentioned, we think this was the best defense in the NFL last year. Well, he was truly right in the middle of it. So great having Derek Nnadi back. Does a lot of dirty work, as I mentioned, that it's hard to put into numbers, but if you just watch the games, you can tell why he's so valuable and why Brett Veach wanted to bring him back. And Turk Wharton, so 17 pressures.
And do this with Derek. I mean, if you message him or you see him in public or whatever, just thank him. I mean, that guy, you're right, he has done so much to help this team win championships, and he's been a part of all three, that unless you really watch the video, I don't think we can fully appreciate what Derek Nnadi does.
Sure, and you have to be a certain kind of guy, like wired a certain way, to really be committed to that role, and he's that guy.
Yeah.
So that's why he's back here in Kansas City. Turk Wharton, also a fun player. I always think of you when we're talking about Turk Wharton, because way back in 2020, when training camp was at the Chiefs facility due to COVID restrictions, Turk was just a UDFA out of Missouri Rolla, yeah. And you and I were watching training camp, trying to think who would be maybe making this team that people weren't talking about, and we saw Turk Wharton out there just bawling out, just looking way better than a UDFA should, and we're like, are we sure this guy wasn't drafted? Like, where'd this guy come from? And what a career he's had here in Kansas City over the last several years. Last year, really solid year for him, had 17 pressures, 5 quarterback hits, 2 sacks. He logged at least 25 defensive snaps in each of the Chiefs' 4 playoff games, so a regular contributor during the Super Bowl run. And what's interesting about him, he's 280 pounds. So he's kind of a tweener along the defensive line. He'd be kind of like a big defensive end, but kind of a small, in terms of weight, defensive tackle. But he's so athletic that he can kind of do everything. And that's what Steve Spagnuolo wants, is a versatile player who can kind of be a chess piece along the defensive front. And that's Turk Wharton. I mean, he can play the 3 tech. It's where he normally is. But you can line him up over the nose. He could be an end in a 3-man front and even line up as an edge outside in a 4-man front. So he can do a little bit of everything. The largest legs and quads I've ever seen on a human being during training camp. He gets like 9 egg omelets, but it's paying off. Glad to have Turk Wharton back in KC.
And he makes an explosive. He can make a flash play now. You go back to his Washington game in 21. That's as big time a play as you would want.
Interception?
It was awesome. I mean, and for a defensive lineman to make that play.
Yeah.
And so he has the ability, athletic ability, to make a play like that. We've seen him do it time and again. And yes, you miners and you engineers and architects and from Missouri S&T in Rolla, your only player to ever make the NFL is a very, very valuable player signed in the second wave here of free agency in the 2024 season. Then you also lose guys in this time. Jody Fortson is now a Miami Dolphin.
Yep.
And you and I both were, you know, love Jody. And gosh, there was just such potential there. It was just a matter of staying healthy. We wish him the best in Miami.
Very similar deal to what we were saying about Turk Wharton. Every training camp, we'd watch Jody. And he's the ultimate example of a guy that put the work in and wasn't in the limelight early on, but was committed to being here and committed to being the best player he could be. I mean, to be on the practice squad for a couple of years and then to earn your shot and to make the team out of training camp, that's what it's all about. And Jody helped us win over the years, wishing him nothing but the best in Miami. Sometimes when you've had injuries, it's a good chance for you to get off to a fresh start in a new place. And I'm hopeful that he can have a great rest of his career. But Jody's an awesome guy, an awesome player, and wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely. And then we'll close out this way. The other part of the second wave kind of leads into a third wave. And the third wave, we're kind of will enter this over the next several weeks. And then maybe the third wave B would be after the June 1 cuts. because then there's a whole bunch of dudes that kind of come flying out there. But let me just give you some examples of guys who have not been signed and have are just out there or outright released. That, not saying they will, but just think about these guys a second. A guy like Max Scharpering in Cincinnati. Now, I'm talking about a guy who would play, obviously fit in the cap, it'd be your sub-offensive lineman. Now, Mike Caliendo is back on the roster, but to lose Nick Allegretti is to lose basically your sixth man in basketball.
So valuable.
He could play center guard and tackle. And then we saw him big man touchdown. He can be tackle over tackle. That role has to be filled going into the 2024 season. But I'm just giving you examples of veterans who are out there who the Chiefs, who down through the years have been able to pick up and get under, you know, team-friendly contracts. Another one is a native of Abilene, Kansas. And he was a great player for the Bears, but Cody Whitehair was released. Now, Cody Whitehair can play center and guard. Super smart and tough. And I was looking how many starts he had. 88 starts maybe with the Chicago Bears, but he's out there just waiting for someone to take him. Another K-Stater is Dalton Risner. Now, Minnesota may take him back. Remember, he was in Denver as a longtime starter, but he's a guy that's there unsigned. And then defensively, well, another offensive lineman, Max Garcia of New Orleans, was with New Orleans, played for Denver, 63 starts, but a guy that could be a backup center guard or become the sixth man or seventh man on your offensive line as a veteran presence, and can be, you know, more help maybe for a Wanya Morris. And then a defensive player is Emmanuel Ogba.
Old friend.
He's at 2019, man. He was a big part of this team. Got hurt that season, but he's out there. Now, will he be re-signed by Miami? Don't know. But that's an example of the second wave that leads into a third wave of free agency that it's almost like the second day of the draft and the third day. We get all hyped up about the first day, and then the value comes in the second and third day. Well, many times the value in free agency comes in the second wave or third wave.
And in both instances, whether it be the second wave or third wave of free agency and the latter days of the draft, that's where you become a champion, in my opinion, because we have our big money, big ticket guys already. It's a matter of supplementing those players with players around them who can help push you over the top. And we've done that in recent years really well. To your point, how about signing Donovan Smith on May 4th last year, or Richie James on April 11th, even bringing back guys from last year. Jerick McKinnon didn't re-sign until May 2nd. Justin Watson was re-signed on April 14th. Deion Bush joined this team on April 3rd. So, I mean, we all fall into the trap of watching the first week of free agency, and some teams throw so much money around and bring in a whole bunch of players, and that's exciting. That's exciting for those teams. But for the Chiefs, they found a way to kind of pick their spots, and in this case, Hollywood Brown was that big guy that they brought in during the first week of free agency. But just because that first week is over doesn't mean that Brett Veach is done. Doesn't mean that this team is a finished product by any means, because you kind of survey the landscape. See who's still out there. See who maybe didn't get that huge deal they were expecting. Drew Tranquil is a great example of that last year. He's talked about it. Like, the linebacker market fell a certain way. The Chiefs were looking for a linebacker, and he's like, I'm going to go to Kansas City and hopefully win a Super Bowl. And look what happened. It was a great investment on his part. So if you're one of those players that are still out there, obviously looking for a job, the Chiefs are a team that's so good at, again, seeing what's out there after that first wave and figuring out what makes the most sense. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and it's why I use the offensive line, not the sexiest conversation among football fans always, but we also know Coach Reid always talks about the trenches, and look how good this offensive line has been in these back-to-back Super Bowl championship years. There's only 8 offensive linemen on the roster right now, okay? And to lose what we lost, that's why I'm saying this second and third wave becomes very important for that room in particular, because you know you'll draft to that room, but who's out there that you can get as a value pick who becomes possibly the Drew Tranquil of 2024 for the offensive line?
And that's why Brett Veach makes the money that he does. That's why he's the best GM in the game, is he finds those guys. And what's so fun to learn about with our scouting department is how they are working year-round on that kind of stuff. I mean, they have lists of guys at all times. Like, these guys are available. These guys are players that we've been interested in for a long time. And it's no mistake that Hollywood talked about this, that the Chiefs were interested in him during the draft back in 2019. And it didn't work out. But all these years later, you remember that. You remember that Hollywood Brown is a player that we were interested in. And that's the case as well for free agents that are around still available around this time, you can think, hey, maybe last year we were interested in that guy. Didn't work out, but he's out there right now. That's where the comprehensive outlook that our scouting department has is so important.
And our scouting department includes the pro personnel staff. We don't talk about them as much. We talk more about the college guys. But you look at a Tim Terry and the guys that work on that pro side, we crop dust this, right? We look at it and then move on to the other thousand things we have to do. They live it.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got the little they got the room up there with, like, you know, they're probably chuckling at me mentioning these offensive linemen. They go, well, there's like 55 others. But those are just examples of how the second wave and third wave, to your point, and well put, is how you win championships. So pay attention to the second wave and the third wave of free agency. Plus, we've had Chiefs that have gone to Hollywood. But now Hollywood comes to the Chiefs.